Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by BlackRifleCoffee.com.
Clapton, what's
Whoa,
up?
Shit.
Hello.
That was a strong
It's a late night at the Black Rifle Coffee office. We've got Graham Allen here. We have Baker. We have Evan Hafer. I've got nicotine gum and a shot of whiskey in my blood, and I'm feeling good.
Ooh, yes, you are.
Really good.
I love you on nicotine gum, by the way.
Yeah. You know,
it's impressive.
Nothing says like better behavior like additives that are uppers. So
yeah, who taught you that? Cheers. Who taught you how to do that?
I'm blaming Aubrey Marcus because I never consumed nicotine whatsoever. And then we went on his podcast. And he's like, "Well, if you chew it, it's not bad at all for you." And I was like, "Well, Aubrey said it, so it must be true."
Must be true.
I am.
But
and
man,
I steal Evan's gum.
Let's clarify that because Matt doesn't like sit there and smack on it for 30 minutes at a time. He chews it for like 5 minutes at a time, takes it out, and then
gets
puts
the
it back
taste
in.
Out.
And
yeah.
I do want to reference this. I do not steal Evan's gum in the metaphorical sense.
No.
I steal it in the literal sense of it actually being gum. So
okay.
All of you fucking assholes out there, I steal Jared's piece of gum, not Evan's.
That's right.
Did
you know? If you were stealing my gum, metaphorically, you'd be stealing my wife.
Right,
yeah.
And then I'd probably have a couple bullet holes in my chest. So.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of stealing wives, you know Aubrey Marcus is in an open relationship. Did you guys talk about that?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, he talks about it on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I think guys like that that are open and honest and transparent about their way of living life are fucking epic. I think too often people create constructs that are fake in their social lives and don't live those things. And I think it's awesome when people put it out there and just own what they do. So I'm all about it.
Yeah.
But in that same stance, I would never be in an open relationship with my wife. If
there
a dude touches her, I'm killing
there
everybody.
It comes.
So.
There it comes.
There's a
disclaimer.
Jealous little
fucker. Disclaimer real quick.
My wife did get a dick pic. No, I'm not going to put that out there. I'll fucking kill anybody. I'll block you and I will beat your. I will fly to your house and beat your fucking face.
Was
in.
It a DM or was it a number? Dude, you could ruin someone's world if someone ever actually sent your wife like a text message.
No, even a DM. Like I have friends in good places, so I can
Man,
I could do my research
I'm
and
saying
make
you
them
could
pay.
Put like this person is like a predator like photo out and just
no,
ruin their
like
world.
If they were accosting her, I mean it would probably be 3 to 4 months that their kneecaps would be broken by a baseball bat in some weird street alley and
yeah.
I'd be like, that sucks, dude. Never
yeah,
knew the correlation.
But especially
between
you
those
just
things.
Got training from Instructor Earl on how to deal with a pederast.
Dude, fuck, I am the new
Instructor
operator
Earl.
After Instructor Earl, dude, like yeah. There's no other. That's all you need in life.
No.
How's
you don't
that
need
better
anything
ass?
Else.
Get back!
I'm
get
framing
back!
That picture of you in the Instructor Earl get up, and I'm going to put it in my office somewhere.
I think we talked about in the office, maybe on the podcast, but how people were making fun of legs because I took a picture with Derek White like 4 years ago, and the perspective made me look like I have small legs. I've been very proud of my leg gains because I don't skip leg day other than my injuries.
You
and
don't. That's true.
And finally, me in a fucking dressed as a transvestite in a dress was the thing
yeah.
where people were like,
"You look good,
man. Your legs look great, bro."
I'm like,
really
"That's
good.
What did it? All right, cool. I guess I'll be
well,
in drag more."
That's because you have such long femurs.
That's why women wear heels because it really makes it really
accents
makes it,
it.
Yeah, it does.
Maybe that's a new thing for you. You could just start wearing heels, and your legs will be look
for
way
such
better.
A handsome
Is
dude.
There,
you are an ugly ass woman, man.
Thank you, Baker. Yeah. Is that a thing where like you're straight, but then you dress? And drag
yeah
absolutely
yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely I have
yeah.
stories
really
oh,
I got a story
here we go
so there was a group in Birmingham Alabama the guy's daughter went to University of Georgia with me. They were known as the Magnificent Seven, very very successful, like architects, doctors and whatnot. It was seven dudes and like once a month they would all meet in a city outside of the South dressed up in full fucking drag shaking their money makers and would just go around and drag.
Wow. What? Why? What's the? What's
I never,
the reward?
I never talked to any of them, but there's people that are into that, man.
Yeah, and what's a moneymaker? Is that your pussy or is that something else?
It's your ass or your yeah. breast, whatever you got, whatever makes the money for you.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Oh.
Well,
yeah.
Well, then it's my asshole.
Yeah, but architects are weirdos. Architects in general are totally weird people.
I feel
man.
Like that's a very general statement, Baker.
I stand behind it.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, those architects don't measure up. Oh God.
Rossi.
Feeling it.
Got it.
Strike force.
Powerful. Feeling it.
Graham
so
Allen.
Welcome. Yeah, what the fuck's new in Graham's life, man?
Oh.
What's going on, brother?
Oh, hi guys. No. I'm first of all, the new facility right here is super cool.
You digging our community college?
I found out it used to be a community college, so that's really awesome, actually. I had never went to college, so this is my first time in here. So things are crazy. Things are all over the place. The TV show started since the last time we talked. Rant Nation.
Yeah, how's that doing, by the way? I saw a post of yours online where some people went after you and you were like, "Hey guys, fuck off. I'm trying to make a little cash for my family.
Yeah, so it was the first time that that I ever, I guess, asked somebody to support me, you know, monetarily, I guess, because they have to pay for something. So there was the initial group of folks that were like, "Oh my God, you're the worst person ever." But then it died off, and it actually, I will say that I was super afraid, because you know what, we are changing things up a little bit. Anybody that's followed the page for a long time can see that there is an obvious maturity starting to happen with the videos. You know, I'm not just randomly screaming, you know, all the time in a truck anymore. But it's been very positive. You know, we did more reach last month than I have done more reach in the last month.
It's very selfless of you. It's the team.
No, it sounds like I'm referring to like this. You know, we are Legion. We are this. But anyway, we had a very successful month, and things have really started coming full circle. And now, you know, I got invited back to hang out with the Black Rifle guys, so it was cool.
You feel like you were never invited. You're always invited, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like it's that kind of like, oh, here's Brian kind of thing sometimes, you know?
And it's like, it's from the podcast?
No. Oh, you mean on the podcast.
Fuck Brian. That little Ford financing fucking fag.
Brad.
And not even like, I'm not talking gay, like a fag. Like, you suck. Like, you're gay. No one cares. Just don't be a fag about it. Like, that's Brad. He's over there with his stupid little wife riding fucking 9% APR on my loan. I'm like, fuck you. Run my credit, bitch. I'm fucking fiscally conservative.
Don't run mine. Don't do it.
Fuck you, Brad.
It's not in a good place right now.
And then my wife got an accident, so I have to go back to Brad. Fuck.
Oh, boy. That's terrible. What if Brad was the one who sent the dick pic?
Ooh.
Shit.
Plot twist.
Thickens, dude. Yeah.
Speaking of, does that happen a lot?
It's like the
lot?
Fifth element right now.
Does that happen a lot? Like, do people send Matt Best wife inappropriate things?
No, often? And I don't even want to talk about it because someone will get an idea.
Yeah,
no one
will get an idea.
No. Not too often. I think people know who she's married to. Where, well, I'm like, I'm a action guy. Where like, it's not cool to me to do something like that.
Being an action guy.
Not like in like former action, like a fag former action guy. I'm talking like just, I'm a man of action.
No. Yeah. I know that's what I'm saying. Well, even if you weren't as awesome as you were in, you know, hurting people, I think it's good that people realize that, you know, you're a married guy. She's a married.
But I think it's
she's like the world's biggest sweetheart. It's not like she's some man.
She's
like
very
the world's
nice.
Biggest sweetheart.
Yeah.
Man, I think it's more of a testament to her because, like, if you look at her, like, she's a classy broad. And
you married up. That's for sure.
She doesn't, like, look like a gal that would, like,
she's short. Kind of married down. Yes, in the sense of, yeah.
Oh.
I don't mean it that way. I'm just making a fucking joke. Yes, yeah. She's rad. Well, I don't know why we just gotten like a wife kick, but sure.
Yeah. Well,
your wife's here.
My
she
wife
looks
is
pretty
here.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, no, Alyssa is very cool. She's probably hating life that we're talking. Oh, no, she's good. Okay.
She's got Chuck Taylor's on, got the Black Rifle tank top, rocking it.
Yeah. How long you guys been married, Graham?
Look at that.
So April 2nd will be 10 years.
Wow.
So
I barely make 10 months of
she
girls.
She's put up with me for a long time, and I will tell you something that needs to be said. Having the discussion, sweetheart, you know, I think I'm going to leave active duty. Okay, babe, what do you want to do? Oh, I'm going to make videos screaming in my truck for a living. I think that's a good idea to give up insurance and all this other kind of stuff. It takes a special kind of lady that will actually not leave you
put
for such a thing
right.
like
yeah.
that. And I think it turned out pretty well.
I have like the world's worst podcast and my wife still stays with me. So I totally understand that statement where you're like, okay, you put up with my shit. I'm pretty fucking fortunate here.
Yeah,
like,
no,
pretty
real
stoked.
Fortunate. Yeah, so it's
and
good.
Speaking of wives, holy shit, Jesse is ready to pop, Ross.
I know. We almost had the baby yesterday. We had
what, so what happened was she like dilate not to, well I don't know what the terms
dilated,
are I've never had
dilated.
Kids dilating
she
or
thought she was having contractions so we went in and turns out it was cramps and there's a new thing called inducing labor. Do you want us to induce labor? And I was like, what the fuck is that? And they were like, well, you know, we have ways around it and things we can put in.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, dude, it's fantastic. You can get coffee and you know when it's gonna happen and everything.
That's what I would do, I think.
That's what we did, all three.
Like, I really want my baby at 3:06 p.m.
So I've got a great story from my wife. So my wife she didn't take any pain medication whatsoever through childbirth, or both of the births of our children, however you say that. So she was actually tiling the kitchen the morning she went into labor. So she's laying tile on the walls of the kitchen and she's having contractions and I go to work in the morning. I'm like, are you good? She's like, yeah, you know, I'll be good. I've got a few more hours. I know about when it's coming. And I'm like, okay, good. So I go to work, I do an interview and I come back probably at 11 o'clock and she is like absolutely in not, so much pain.
She's not all right. She's not
no,
good.
No, but she's laying down on the floor, going into contractions, and then she'd get back up and put another tile.
I can get it.
I just want to finish this before we go.
The baby needs a tiled bathroom. Yeah. She's not sure if the baby's going to know.
She finished the kitchen before we left, and it was, what, four? It was like 5 hours, and we were back in the house.
What Evan doesn't realize is he subconsciously just did the most ultimate man thing ever. The moment that you asked your wife, are you okay? And she responded with, yeah, that was probably a good clue. Maybe
you're good. You said you're good.
Yeah, you said you're good. You said it. Don't get mad at me.
I did have to go in and I'm like, I think we should go. And she's like, fuck you. Get away from me. We're not leaving until the kitchen's done. I'm like, okay, I'm going
to
be over here.
But that's Evan. That's why they get along. Yeah. Because Evan was like getting ready to go into surgery for his appendix and he's taking fucking calls. He's like, can you hold off on that surgery for another 8 minutes because I kind of need to finish this
call.
I am
a terrible pain tolerance person. Just being completely honest, I don't like it. I feel like there's certain things that I can tolerate. You know, obviously I have no problems with tattoos, but if you've got to draw my blood, I have a real big problem with it. I don't know what it is.
Blood's a more uncomfortable feeling. It's not necessarily pain because, like, you know, needles don't really scare me, but getting blood taken, I will opt out every chance I get because I'm just not a fan. It's not the pain. It's like having a foreign object.
Doesn't bother me.
See, there's people that it doesn't bother and they're like, oh, you can just jab me however you want.
Doesn't bother me.
Really?
No.
I will sit there and I'll ponder on it all day. I'll be like, at 12 o'clock, I gotta go get blood drawn.
I would sit there with privates and take my boots off and just let them go to fucking town.
Nope.
I'm like, go for it, guys. Oh, and I'd be walking them through. God.
If someone said, I have privates, stick my fucking extremities, or I need to go get in a gunfight with me versus 10 Taliban, I'm in the gunfight with 10 Taliban.
And there,
I'm like, fuck no you. Way. Fuck this Dude. Blood. Let's go kill some fucking bitches. I ain't getting my legs stuck.
They would look at me like, because nothing's worse than one of your privates going, okay, you're going to angle this. You've got to come in at a different angle. Okay, that is perpendicular to my arm. That's not going.
You missed it. Moving
you're
around
stabbing
there.
In oh, like
and it was they flashbacks. Would look at me in totally a different a just, totally just, a different
make
like
Graham
they're
pass
like
out on the
that fucking dude out. Would take his shoes off and I'd be like, there you go, man, there's a foot, fucking put an IV in, let me see what you got.
You know, that's why you and Matt are really tough.
I did not say I'm
people,
a part of that. I got stuck by seven
I
people
want
once.
No part of it.
I was like the guinea pig for it and it completely ruined it for me. I'm like, now, and then, like, I had an E6 one time draw my blood, and I was like, hey, just get it fucking done. He sticks it in there, and he starts getting up and moving, and I was like, man, I think that needle's still in there. I look over. The needle, the syringe, is still in my fucking blood, and I'm like, you don't have positive control over that. And then when he came back, he lit. And then my arm from my bicep all the way to my wrist was all black and blue.
And then I would die. I would literally die.
Fucking asshole. Yeah. And so now I'm like, I've had such bad experiences, but every time I go to a civilian nurse and I'm going to like, every time a female comes to stick me, I'm like, thank
God.
Fuck, because
thank
they're
you.
Always like gentle and they just get it in there.
I will. I will, to be completely honest, like, I will be that man that's in there and be like, look, dude, I'm sure you're very good at your job. There's got to be a lady somewhere.
Yeah.
somewhere present.
What is a female?
That's the way I am, too. I only trust a woman with needles.
What is it? An esthetician? Esthetician? What is it, Dave?
Ooh,
an esthetician?
Okay. There we go.
And I don't understand. You know, they have the little tiny needles that they can put in with. It has like a little butterfly on it.
Yeah, the butterfly needle.
And then
it has
the tube that comes out. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing. I'm like, why are you not using that all the time? Don't fucking put the big thing on that you have to change out.
Yeah.
Like four or five
looks like
times
a rhino
and it fucking
dart.
Hurts. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, man, just put the other one on. You don't have to do anything. I'm like, why has not everybody gone to this?
Every service member that's listening to this is going, oh God, guys, stop. You know, right now. It's just every bad CLS thing you can imagine.
Other than probably like the 18 Delta or the medic that's like, you guys are bitches. Yeah. I stuck my own femoral. No. And you're like, you're just fucking crazy,
we had that
bro.
Guy. We had that dude. He's like, I'll do it myself. And he ties himself off and all that stuff.
We had a
no.
dude that was super into the fucking, I forget what they are, but it's the chest.
Yeah, the thing
press.
That goes through the chest.
And
no.
when you evenly press, it shoots into your sturm. And
my wife's about to throw up over there.
Stick me in the chest. And one of the guys got fired, the medic, because they were hammered and they gave a class on it. I'm like, and they had to get it surgically removed out of his sturm.
I walked into a room at the 18 Delta course. One of my buddies, I was walking over there to go hang out and say hi. And he was sitting there drawing his own blood. He was drawing his own blood. And he was drinking beers, and then he would fill up the beer bottles. And he had probably six beer bottles. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he goes, I just want to see how many beers I have to drink with equal amounts of blood until I start to get woozy. And I was like, okay, that's what you're doing tonight.
That sounds like it's time to leave.
I'm like, all right, well, have fun, man.
That's some heavy shit.
That's some Michael Myers
Dave,
stuff, man.
Look up chest port multi-needle. That's the one I want to see.
No,
because we'll find out what it is.
It's so cool. It is so fucking cool.
That might be...
That means it's gross. If they're saying it's so cool, that means it's absolutely gross.
No. Do sternum.
It's sternum IV.
Oh, yeah. God. Evan, what happened to those guys, by the way? Did they black out that
yes,
night?
Yes, there it is.
Yes, I've seen it. It's terrible.
There it is.
It's god awful.
There it is. Look at that thing.
That thing jams straight into your sternum. That is so fucking
what
cool.
is the purpose of it?
It's because you're so depleted as far as your blood that you can't actually get a positive line to pump fluid. So you stick it straight in the bone, and that's where you're pumping fluid.
Yeah.
And that's
casualties that are bleeding out. It's so hard to get a
you're in bad shape
yeah.
if you've got to use that. You're in real bad shape.
And that's spring loaded. So you have to press it into the sternum, and then it ejects the needles into it, it blows the bone in.
There's
got
to be
it's
a
amazing.
Different topic to talk about. I mean, there is really all the stuff going on, and we're talking about this.
Yeah.
Jeez.
What would you like to talk
what
about?
Were those, well, now that it just, what were those medics that, like, they all killed themselves because they direct-lined, like, liquor or something in IV bags or something? That was a big thing when I was still in. They were telling that.
They should have gone to Google and typed in science and said, don't put alcohol direct in your blood.
Don't do that.
It's kind
don't,
of a no-go.
It was vodka, wasn't IV. It?
Yeah, I think I want to say that's what it was. Yeah, that was a tale that went around.
That's one of those crazy things. It's like, what are you trying to accomplish? Just
they didn't love themselves.
Chug a bottle of vodka.
That's like the same like millennial thing where it's like, let's soak a tampon and shove it in her ass. Like,
eat a Tide Pod.
So fast, I'm like, I could take an extra 20 minutes and not have to shove a
I can try a little harder.
Tampon in my asshole.
Drink it. I think those are guys that just want an excuse to put something in their ass.
Yeah. Well, then take a shot of vodka and get pegged by your girlfriend. Like, Jesus, man.
Yeah, we don't need any excuses around here.
No.
I'm sitting on Evan's hand in my butt right now.
Yeah, right now.
Oh, we're on video. They know it's a lie.
Two fingers. Two fingers up there.
See?
I
you got
two
caught.
Fingers, one for the mouth and one for the butt.
Graham Allen, I want to ask you, what are you ranting about today? What's really sticking in your craw these days?
I'll tell you the big thing that happened last month is I got on a religious kick that I never meant to. It kind of just happened. I had some woman tell me that she claimed to be a Christian lady, tell me that she really liked what I was trying to do, but my tattoos made me look trashy, and because she was a Christian, she just couldn't bear to look at me. And so, I don't know. At first, it didn't really bother me. And then the more and more I got to thinking about it, the more and more I got to thinking, you know, isn't that the direct opposite of what, you know, people that claim to be Christians are supposed to do?
I know it's tattoos are taboo in the Jewish culture, but, like, that's kind of crazy, man.
Yeah. So it was nuts, and I made a video about it, and I really wasn't expecting it to do a whole lot. I was going to use it as an engagement filler to the 4th of July video I had scheduled the next day. Right. Get, you know, because I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
And man, it went nuts. Apparently, a lot of people don't like people talking bad about people with tattoos, I guess.
Right.
Usually it's after sex when people say they can't stand to look at me. but, you know. No, I think that's weird. I think that is such like a decade ago. If that person actually believes that and it was just conjuring something, I think that. It's like tattoos are so prevalent now in modern day society that it's not specific to like a cultural movement where back in the day it was like gangs and all that. But I mean, like, every military dude, within reasons, probably got some tattoos.
Well, that's how my grandparents view it. It is still to this day, if you weren't in the Navy and or had gone to prison, you shouldn't have tattoos. I mean, my grandparents still feel very much that way about it.
My mom was that way. Like, when I first got tattooed, she was like, please just not below the shirt line and never the hands or, you know, neck. Yeah. And then now she's just like, whatever, dude.
I think most people did that.
She's like, oh my God, he can be successful and still have a couple hand tattoos.
I think most dudes especially did the first tattoo that you know that you could cover it up, you know, just in case. Right. Just in case. And then as it goes down, you slowly just start moving further and further.
What was the first tattoo you got?
Oh.
And when? Like,
No, I got the barbed wire around my arm.
There you go.
That was the first one.
We'll call that the Pamela.
And I've been working on covering it up for a while. The only part you can still see is right there.
The Blake Shelton, we call that. The Blake Shelton.
I've still got to cover that up, but yeah.
Does Blake Shelton
I don't think you should cover it up.
Blake Shelton's got like this. It almost looks like deer droppings or something.
Around his
arm.
The hilarious part about that though is like that was the previous generation's cool guy tattoo, and that was a lower back tattoo. We are setting the precedence for what's fucking douchey in 20 years. Like, if I have kids or your kids when they grow up, be like, oh my God, Dad, you have a sleeve.
You have
like,
a there it is. Doesn't it look like what is that?
Deer feet.
Deer feet.
It's deer. It's a deer track.
Oh,
is it really?
So sad. Yeah,
deer footprint.
It looks like.
He's from Oklahoma, man.
Yeah.
Deformed turtle.
That's a weird tattoo, though, he's got.
I would cover that up.
Did you see Ben Affleck's back tattoo?
Ben Affleck has a
Oh, my God. Dave, pull this up. It will shock all of your minds. You will never believe this.
Is it real?
Yes.
Back or bat?
You know far too much about
back.
Ben Affleck.
Oh, okay.
That is real 100%, dude.
No.
I swear to God.
Shut the fuck up.
Yes.
It's a phoenix.
It's a phoenix.
Phoenix rising from the ashes. And
Affleck has a phoenix.
Wait, this is a great story. So he got caught in a like an on-set photo. He was trying to hide this from everyone. And then they took a picture. It got into the news. And then he said, oh, it's for a movie. Then 3 years later, he was on the beach and somebody caught a long, you know, zoom in lens or whatever the fuck it is. And it was his real tattoo, and he had to come out and say, I did this.
I'm skeptical.
I am shocked by this.
This is real? And then wait, so Jennifer Garner and Jennifer Lopez confirmed it, and they were like, hey, Jennifer Garner was pissed because she goes, I hope I'm not the fucking ashes and you're the phoenix. And I was like, whoa.
Oh. Sylvester Stallone has a lot of tattoos
on that shoulder
too,
piece, Dave. I want to see the shoulder piece that Ben Affleck
He's
has.
Got shoulder pieces?
Down to the left on your mic. Yeah,
it looks
right
like
there.
Ed Hardy. It wraps around to his ass. Look at go.
That's not him.
Yeah.
The shoulders here, Dave. The front shoulders, the front delts.
Yeah, the one with him in the water right
there.
There you go.
Huh.
Wow.
Didn't expect that.
Mind is
no one
completely
did.
Blown.
No
Everyone
one did.
Is Googling this right now. Yeah. Everybody.
I'm going to get so much shit for this, but I had a matching tattoo with an individual, and I covered it up, and the bullet looks like a penis now. You can see it. It looks like a penis.
So is that the tattoo you regret the most then?
No, because the one under it I regret the most.
Oh.
So it's okay. It's whatever.
What about you, Evan? Do you have a tattoo that you regret that you got?
No. I mean, I have them that I don't think they're like great quality, but they all mean something. I've got one on the outside of my arm that was in Baghdad in one of Saddam's former palaces in like one of his bathrooms.
Okay.
And I was asking the guy to give me this specific design. Yeah, it was ink.
That's funny.
And but we were under a limited time. Like we had to get this fucking thing done. I mean, because I was flying out, I was going home. So it was in Saddam's bathroom. And then on the inside.
Shut the fuck up. Is that real?
Yeah, it's real.
That's
awesome.
I was
in one of his college bathrooms.
That's a story, man. Like, nobody can take that away. That's for sure.
And the other one is I had just gone through divorce and a bunch of other stuff. And it was a Japanese character from a play that represented war and a few other things. And I got that one in a former warlord's house in Afghanistan that we were staying in from another guy that's a very, very accomplished tattoo. So they all mean something, you know, and regardless of how shitty I think they are. And I've got like a globe on the top here, which is from when I was in college. It was stupid.
Darker days.
He was so stupid. I was like, yeah, man, this is great. And it was like this chick that I don't even think she knew how to draw. She's just like, man. I'm like, this doesn't even look like the Earth. It doesn't look like any. It looks like kind of a Pangea. Aspect, you know, maybe the continents looked like
maybe
that.
Maybe she
at one
was
time.
A flat earther, dude. And she's yeah. like, I'm gonna fucking regret yeah. this. And I have a Dakota Myers tattoo on me. That's his initials. He tattooed me.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We were drunk in El Paso, Texas.
Oh, okay.
What was your first one? What was your first one?
I got my last name Best on my back left trap at the age of 16.
Really?
Yeah, it was a pretty funny story. My two brothers had it because they were 18 in the Marine Corps, and then. They're like, I was like, I would get that. And they're like, I got a guy. So he called his Marine buddy who had a cousin, and he's smoking a huge J in his garage. And I'm like this skinny little Santa Barbara white boy. Like,
ooh,
what
I bet
fuck
you
do
felt
I know
it, man.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a bad tattoo. But he's like, don't worry, dog. The fucking weed keeps my hand calm. And I was like, okay. And my brothers are laughing their ass off. I was like, oh, but hey, good memory.
Ross, do you have tattoos?
I do. He does. The only one I regret is getting, you know, everybody gets an Asian writing tattoo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have the words Asian writing on my ass. And I did it for a movie. And
Mitzi can a call girl, right?
Yeah. Yes. And it's in the movie and it's in the thing. But it's one of those things where if you get a tattoo on your ass, you forget about it because you never ever see it. So like,
right,
if
right.
I'm like, I was, I live in a neighborhood with a pool and shit like that. And I was getting changed in a bathing suit. And there was a few dudes in there, like other dads. And they were looking over and they were like, yo man, is that a tattoo on your ass? And I was like, oh fuck. I always forget about it. And then they come over and they were like, what is it? What does that say? And I was like, and then they come in and it's like Asian writing. And I'm like, man, they're like, God damn it, you're hilarious. And I'm like, aren't I?
I feel like this is just
feel
like
we
a weird
should double
intro
back
to a gay porn.
I know. How easy you just said, yeah, these other dads were looking at me while I was changing. you just completely like, bypassed that.
Well, if somebody's got the words Asian writing written on their ass, I would ask if somebody had that on them. I'm like, hey man,
what the fuck is that? I'll give it to you.
I feel like that's everybody with tattoos because I consistently forget how many fucking tattoos I have where it's just part of me. And then, you know, you take your shirt off and people get scared. You're like, what the fuck? Oh, I look like a
girl. Oh, yeah. Your whole back's covered, right?
Yeah. I'm neck to I did that once. I was at a range. It was just me and one other dude and we were training these Afghanis in the bumfuck Egypt. You know where that is. I won't say it. But I'm sitting there in snivel gear. And I was like, oh, I'm going to change out of this real quick. So I turned around. I was taking my shirt off. And then I realized I had a Christian Crusader cross and the giant in the back. And I was like, I probably should turn back around and hide that guy so I don't eat an AK to the face.
Do you have a tattoo that people ask you about all the time?
It's so blended together now.
Yeah.
I did some for Rated Red, but no, I think when you had like one or two, people would be like, oh, what does that mean? But this is just a good
That's a good point.
Let me ask you this, Matt. Do you ever have fans that have gotten tattoos because of you?
Oh.
I mean, I think things that we've done over the years, there's a couple Lincoln's box seats tattoos. There's a lot of Forever Free tattoos, the line that I launched in Article 15 Clothing. There's a few BRCC tattoos. There's, I think, about 10 Lead Slingers, at least the brand emblem tattoos. I don't know of any that are specific to me as an individual, which would be super creepy, other than probably about four girls I've been with.
There's no I operate tattoos?
I don't know.
Gotcha. Well,
or you've had guys copy like portions of your tattoos and make that's t-shirts true. Out of them. Yeah.
What?
That's cold-blooded, man. That's cold.
So somebody took your tattoos and made it a shirt?
I made it a shirt first. I have Forever Free in
what's,
my back.
Matt, what's the heaviest tattoo?
What's heavy
that
mean?
Any of your friends have? Like for me, it would be Logan's chest piece.
That's brutal.
Big
wolf.
That's a lot of black ink, man. Yeah. That's a lot of work.
I don't know. I don't want to sound like a pussy, but like my back, because there's so much square footage, I sat probably once a week for 10-hour sessions, and then 10-hour sessions, 10-hour sessions, just to get it done. And by the end of that, when I was getting my lower back and kind of love handles with a little extra fat there, whew. That was rough, man. To the point where I was like, why the fuck am I doing this?
I have five tattoos, and they're all based there. I won't get one that takes more than a fucking hour. Ooh, every tattoo
really?
I have. Oh, yeah. So right here.
Spoken true redneck.
So on my left quad, I've got the first two paragraphs of Rudyard Kipling Zip. Those took an hour each. That was 30 minutes. I love New York inside that bicep. All I love mom inside that, and that was 20 minutes.
Huh.
Interesting.
I'm not going to be a hater here, but that's one pet peeve of mine is like, when people are like, how many tattoos do you have? I'm like, I don't know, like 40% of my body's covered. And then when they try to say like, oh my God, the wrist doesn't hurt. And you're like, it's a 3-minute tattoo. You can endure anything. Right. Yeah. It's like, sit 9 hours on the worst spot in your body. And then you can fucking say that that shit hurt or didn't
I feel
hurt.
Like the 4-hour mark is when it really starts to become real that point.
I think you know? hour first is the worst. Endorphins kick in.
Yeah.
You get about 3 to 4 hours out of that, and then you have that depletion.
Well, outlining's the worst for me. Well, when they get to shading and they get like the 6 and 9, man, I can sit there all day and let them go with that. Yeah, outline's bad.
We have a Will from Black Salt Tattoo in Salt Lake City coming out to Texas. He's going to help paint him a memorial piece in my gym, and then he's going to tattoo all of us.
Oh, that's
When's Will coming out?
End of August. So we should have a thing. What should I get tattooed? I'll get a silly tattoo on me. I got so much room. Fuck it.
Forrest Whitaker winning the Oscar.
That wasn't a question for you, Rob.
Okay, cool. I want to see how Will shades that eye, because he's got that one lazy eye.
Oh, come on.
Stop. It's in 17% of Chinese people have that kind of eye.
Has anybody got a Gene Vandenham tattoo?
Not to my knowledge, I don't think.
We should make that happen. Someone should get a Gene Vandenham tattoo. I'll pay for it.
Jared doesn't have any tattoos.
He told me the other day, by the way, I don't give a fuck. Jared missed this podcast to go to spin class.
Yeah.
That's where we're at in life.
Yeah,
that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes, man, spin class is super expensive and I have to pay if I don't go. Like, can Baker just jump on so I don't miss it? I was like, I guess.
But well, technically, you know that's not why, right?
Yes, 100%. That's exactly what I said.
The girl that he's seeing is going to spin class with him.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with
him. So we're over
fucking
here working, kind of, and he's balls deep.
No, I mean, I was holding out hope because, like, you were like, oh, man, good for him.
Did
it made
you
me feel
Moana?
Good.
Did you say
Moana? Well, anything.
He calls her,
anything.
Oh, I thought you said Moana.
I don't know her real name.
Moana.
Anything that gets Jim.
Yeah.
Anything that gets Jim into the what's his name? No. Anything that gets JT into the gym, like.
Have you ever done a spin class, Evan?
Go for it. Yeah, yeah. I've done them with my wife, man. Like
They're not enjoyable,
Matt,
really.
I've been in a couple spin classes, and it's always like the first part, like, this is fucking lame. Okay, I'm going to ride a bus.
They're not nice.
The fucking girl drinking Starbucks up front with her fucking
yelling at
like,
you.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm in the back like, what the fuck? My legs are on fire.
And you're like, you're looking at the skinny housewives, like, you know, that are just like crushing it. You're like, you motherfucker, I'll beat all your asses. Yeah. You might fuck me up on this bike, but I'll get you.
Hot yoga is the one that really trashes
fuck that
me.
Shit, man. Ugh.
Like that's the one that
it's just kind of gross to me.
Dude, it's
a bunch
legit
of people out there just
sanitize that shit,
wetting all over.
Edwin, or one of our coffee guys, and I will go to hot yoga every now and again, and because I mean we're into weird shit like that. I guess like we go to this place called Banya in Seattle, which is like an ice plunge, a sauna that's like 400 degrees,
like a Turkish bathhouse.
It's fucking awesome, is what it
like
is.
Like a Turkish bathhouse.
Well, it's a Russian.
I like that type of shit, man. I'm into that type of shit.
It like jumping into a 45 degree pool, and then we'll sit there and try to compete as to how long we can go in this 45 degree pool. So we'll be sitting there for like 10 minutes, and then we'll plunge our heads down underneath, and it's epic. So we're just kind of and he's run like so many of these ultra marathons. So he's a pain threshold guy that's really fucking into that. Whereas, like, I'm not a big pain threshold guy. Like,
I'm
I don't
like
care,
to
but
sit on the
that's
couch
a nice
and
way
watch
of saying
the
Edwin's
from time to time kind of guy. You know,
he's a good odd.
Absolutely.
He's a great odd.
An impressive odd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That's been my play lately, is because the home gym's about 80% done at my house, and like I'm refusing to finish all the air conditioning. So my office is like 69 degrees, and it's about, I don't know, it's 80. And Noelle will like kind of not complain about it. She's like, it's hot in here. I'm like, oh, shucks, better take off your clothes. So it's like hot yoga in there. And then he's working out and like nothing. I'm like, this is awesome.
I've been working in between my house and my garage, and when it's like 100 degrees outside. And I realized like I was sweating, like just sweat was running down. It's like 110 outside and like
shit.
Typing on my laptop.
I prefer it.
And Mary Beth comes over. She's like, do you want to like go inside to work? Or I'm like, oh yeah, I should probably go inside, I guess. Yeah. I'm just like covered, drenched in water.
I'm a sweater in general. Mm-hmm. So anytime it's over like 74, I feel like I start perspiring.
Yeah. I don't like my thermostat above 70 in the house at all.
Yeah, no, not at all. No, my kids are the same way, man. And so our house, especially at night, we'll like crank it down to like 69. And
I'm 69 all day, and that's not a joke. That's like when I moved to Texas, and I'm sure you guys heard the AC guy's like, hell, you ain't ever going to have that thing under 75. And I'm like, what fucking planet do you
live on? No.
I want to
be
sweating my
ass off.
Freedom
here, sir.
Yeah. And then I want to walk into my house and be like, oh, I need to put a sweatshirt on. That's just my jam.
Yeah.
Plus, it's like if you're cuddling with your woman or whatever, they're hot, you're hot. And like,
if you're cold, you can do something about it. You can get a blanket, you can put a hoodie on or something. If you're hot, you're hot. Period. And I don't pay the bills at the house. I don't work all day to come home and be uncomfortable.
Environmentally speaking, though, because like when I went to Ranger School, I was so thankful I went during the summer because I was like, I don't have to worry about being cold. Let's just go in the summer. And then I used to try to make people be heat cats when I was in charge of the formation. I would just run as fast as I can because like I hope one passes out because then I get an hour in the fucking shade laying down. Like, should have drank more water, bitch.
sounds like a great friend.
It's a leadership school. Drink water, bitch.
Yeah.
Should we ask Ross the question me and you were talking about earlier, Matt? The scammer pages and stuff.
Oh shit.
Ross, do you have a lot of women that contact your wife saying that you're cheating on her and that you're marrying them and all that stuff, like fake accounts?
No, luckily, I'm thankful for this because it's weird. Even though all the stuff we do is all over social media, she's not a very social media savvy person. I think her Instagram, she's probably posted maybe a month or two ago. She doesn't get into that, thankfully. But I've gotten it from people about one about Matt. I've gotten it from Matt before. And then Jared a lot. I get in emails, email wise.
Wow.
The most bizarre thing in all of this, and please speak to this, is like, I think there's about 3 or 5 instances now where people have got violent with me and my wife, where normally I get them about three times a day. Someone will reach out and they'll say, hey, I Google imaged you, and they figure it out. They're rational individuals. And they're like, I found out you're married. This isn't you. Just like, I flagged it. Can you flag it too? Roger that. Done. But then right now this is happening to me. There's someone that's like accosting my wife saying like, you lying bitch, you're dead, you're faking to be this woman, my whoever, if it's like her stepmom or someone, is dating Matt, and like to the point where we've sent like a photo and we're like, do I need to send a video to say like, listen, like I for the well-being of your family, this is not a real relationship. And but they refuse to accept that, and they're getting violent, calling us scammers and pieces of shit. And I'm like, I don't want anything from you. The guy in Nigeria trying to get $2,000 from you is not me, man.
This is the scary thing for me. And you know, at first it was like, you know, when it very first happened, I was like, oh my God, somehow I'm going to get in trouble over this, right?
Right.
And then as it started happening more, I almost got to a point where I just didn't care anymore. Right. It's like, I'm sorry that, you know, because
you block one and then one pops up and you're like, I don't have the answer.
But the thing that bothers me is you have adults that are out there in society. A lot of them have kids and all this other stuff. And Alyssa has just started like getting, she disappeared somewhere. Anyway, Alyssa has just started getting into social media a little more. And I warned her when she did that. I said, look, the second you start doing this and people, figuring out who you are, they're going to start contacting you. And people will contact her and say, you know, your husband's a piece of garbage. We're getting married tomorrow. and my thought process is, one, who agrees to marry someone you've never even physically met? Because I know that I'm not marrying the 72-year-old robust grandmother of three. I know that I'm not doing that. So you have never physically met this person that you have fallen in love with and now you're going to marry. I mean, that's scary.
It's more of a perspective of like wishful thinking. Like, I can't imagine if I was like a 7-year-old dude and this like, you know, 25-year-old person I deemed attractive is like super accepting of my like romantic approach and all these other things. Like, you would, maybe they fall victim to that because they're so lonely and in their situation in life. It's like super unfortunate.
Well, no,
but then you
like,
also be like, shake them. Like, are you a fucking idiot?
I would say that it's safe to say that you are a famous person, Matt. Like, you know, you're a famous person. But yet if Carrie Underwood just all of a sudden started telling you how much she loves you and she wants to run off and get married.
Stolen valor.
As a rational person, you would probably have some questions. You know, I mean, there's no excuse anymore. There is no excuse for getting catfished in 2000, soon to be 2018.
That's what I say. And I don't understand. I don't understand the TV show. Like, how the fuck is that TV show still going with all of the technology we have today?
But you're looking at it from a lens where you understand social media. You understand the dynamics. I think these people have never been on social media. They created a Facebook account, and then all of a sudden they're getting contacted. Like, the people that are doing this are very calculated in their efforts. They go after a said demographic, which is usually 45-plus females that are, like,
not very attractive.
Not very attractive, stay at home. And then usually in my circumstances, it's the children that catch wind of this relationship.
Yeah, and then
I have, like, a 16-year-old writing me, and they're like, hey, please respond to this because my mom thinks she's dating you. And they know, they call bullshit, but they're yelling at the kids, and you're like, fuck.
But
dude,
that's what
so
I'm
weird.
Saying. These people have kids. Like, these are the people that are supposed to be raising kids that are so easily taken advantage of and think that they're fixing to run up.
Yeah.
I had a woman finally get into contact with me, and for some reason it was just one of the emails I opened, and this is how intense it got. The person claiming to be me was claiming to be me in the actual city and state that I lived in. So this girl spent all of her money to take a bus to Anderson, South Carolina, where
Jesus
I used to
Christ.
Live. And she figured it out, obviously, that nobody was showing up and got in touch with the real me and then expected me to help her get back home. Because, you know, it was my image. And so that's like the moral dilemma there.
She took a greyhound.
Do we have some kind of like moral
obligation?
That's our first
problem. Who the fuck takes a greyhound?
Theo Vaughn's got theories about greyhounds.
I don't know what she took. All I know is the email read, you know, I just spent every last dime I had to get to Anderson, South Carolina, and you were supposed to meet me here. And so, I mean, that's really where I lived. I mean, I really lived in that area. So what if
how'd she ask you to pay her back?
She said, she asked nicely at first.
She was probably just trying to hook you.
Maybe. I mean, but that's the thing. But what if it was real? And what if by happenstance, I just happened to like cross paths with this person
that
thinks
gives me anxiety.
It does, right? Like, I mean, it's this weird situation all the way around. Who gets on a bus to go to a state that you have no money to get back to meet
somebody you've
never met?
Well, it's a hard thing because you want to criticize it, but you feel almost sad about it. Yeah, Jared's on a fucking bicycle going nowhere. he's chasing that pussy, and it ain't, and the fucking bike ain't even moving. He's got the donut in front of him. Just like, I'm gonna go to spin class.
Oh my God.
I just hope he gets fit. You know, we don't want to see Jared die. We love Jared.
We do. By the way, to put a button on this, Graham, the people that have hit me up are asking me why my friends are shitty friends. So Jared and Matt, like, I don't understand. They're married or pretending to be married, and they're like, you better fucking talk to him because so and so, you know, is dating them. And I'm like, man, you guys are, that is not the right person. But they've gone through like friends. So like they'll go through social media friends and all that other shit. And it's scary when I'm just like, all right, I'll send one message to them and be like, hey, we're good, but no more than that. I'm done with it.
But people in general are just psycho. Like I got back from a hunting trip in Africa 2 years ago, and Logan was on that trip with me. And one of the people on the trip shot a giraffe. I wasn't even in the fucking photo. Somehow, some animal rights psychopath found out that I was on that hunting trip, then found out who Kelsey was and created a fake LinkedIn profile for Kelsey, who works in corporate America, and sent out like 500 invitations with like animal porn shit.
Weird.
Yeah. People are bat shit crazy, and the internet makes them more crazy.
Okay, I got a question for you guys talking about stuff. And so I'm asking this question with you know, whatever you guys think, I want you to tell me. So do you think that this is weird or maybe crossing a line? So this is the first time it's ever happened. So all three of my kids are in school now. And so this is the very first time. And I won't say names or anything just in case somebody's listening. But basically, my son has made a friend at school, his new school. And the other day, my son comes home because his friend has a message from his mama for the son to tell my son to tell me.
What's the message?
What's the message?
Well, the message was just basically like, you know, oh, you know, I love you so much, da 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 da. You know, you're amazing. You know, I've been following everything you've done for a long time. I mean, it was a nice message. It wasn't like a I hope you die kind of thing. But that weird?
It's a little weird to like elicit children to your messaging.
7.
All right, so the kid could have been something lost in translation with the 7-year-old like understanding words she was using. I thought you were going to go a different route on that.
I did too.
Like, No. This is why it wasn't a threatening thing. It's just to me that's the very first time that anybody has tried to like send a message through my kid for me kind of thing, and I don't know why. It just kind of irked me
a little. Vulnerable.
I mean, you know that that's my kid, and we've really had to start talking to my kids because people see me like I'm sure they do you all the time. You know they know who we are, so my kids naturally think that I know who these people are too.
Right.
And so you know it just opens up a whole can of worms. Like no, just because people know who Daddy is doesn't mean that Daddy knows who they are. You know, you can't talk to those people. Yeah, I don't know. I was just curious.
I mean, I just got a text from First World Problems. It's for you. It's for you, Graham. Yeah. Whoa.
No, you just don't think about that stuff when you start doing
it. I'm thankful at this realm in my life I don't have children because it's like what you are exterior facing in your brands and your personality, it like people think it's 100% real and it comes back to you. It's easy to own it as an individual. It's semi-complex having a partner in life, like a wife that's comfortable enough to filter out the bullshit and the lies.
Right.
And then I can't imagine with someone being like having a child where what they think is real at that age. So it's like I wouldn't know how to navigate
people always attack me through my kids. Like honestly, it's my daughter that gets it the most. Like, you know, the threatening messages I get because, you know, I talk about like things that are in the moment, like politically charged, you know, people are really emotional about it. And so it is always all the time. Anna Grace, my daughter, will be the one that gets it. Like, I hope your daughter gets sodomized. You know, I've gotten that as well, man.
Oh, yeah. And it's super fucked up. The worst one I got was from a guy in Pennsylvania who said, who had just dug through the ends of the earth of my social media and found a picture of my child and said, I'm going to make your fucking 3-year-old boy my dog's sex slave.
Yeah.
I would respond, I'm going to make my pistol your fucking lollipop, you little bitch, and I'm going to blow your fucking brains out and paint my new fucking living room
Let me give you a piece of advice on that. So Ross and I spend a lot of time on Twitter. Ross is very familiar with the platform. Yeah. Graham, you know, you're on Twitter as well. Twitter is the place where people can say whatever the fuck they want.
Oh, yeah. It's the worst. It's purgatory. That's what I call it. It's just hell on earth.
And it sucks because I was just looking at your Twitter feed before we got on. And, you know, it is so bad now, especially if you're taking a position on an issue or just giving an opinion on it or whatever.
Any issue, and by the way. Any issue, Baker.
Right. So we put out the video with Crispy the other day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the NRA retweeted it. And I was like, oh, shit, that's pretty damn cool, man. It's a big platform pushing a really strong message. I clicked on that thing and looked at the comments.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, did anyone watch the fucking video?
No,
like,
they don't.
What the fuck are you people talking about?
They don't watch.
So here's a piece of advice for anyone listening. Don't ever block anybody on Twitter.
Really?
No, because here's why. When you block them, they know that they're blocked. What you do is you hit the mute button so you never see shit that they say. Right. And they don't know that they're blocked. Because a lot of them, like, they have in their bios now on Twitter, blocked by Trump, blocked by so-and-so, blocked by Ted Cruz.
Make them famous for
that. Like a badge of honor.
So it's funny because I that kind of dawned on me like a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I'm a genius. And I was like, God damn it. So I had to go through the BRC Twitter unblock every fucking person I've ever blocked.
Twitter's a whole different Starbucks fallout.
And then just muted them.
Yeah, it's rough.
I felt accomplished that day.
That is an accomplishment.
I didn't know that. That's actually a really good trick.
It is. And one thing I wanted to ask, Graham, so when you put something out on Twitter, how can you engage with your consumers? Because you have to read through all the fucking rhetoric. So if you get 100 comments, 75 of them are like, you motherfucker, like you fucking hate kids. It's like, how do you cipher through all that bullshit?
Well,
to find the meaningful conversation to be had.
I've found that the people that actually want to have meaningful conversations, I'll get emails and things. Because I have everything set up to where, you know, there are other avenues.
Right.
I mean, obviously, if there's freaking, I don't know, 30,000 comments on something. You can't, is the answer to that. You can't sort through it. You know, the people that actually have some, because I take criticism. I realize that I am not the de facto know-all, my way is the only way person.
No one
right?
is.
Yeah, and so I take criticism. if you don't agree with me, that's perfectly fine. I because I'm not going to agree. I'm sure there's things that me and Matt don't fundamentally agree on everything. If you look hard enough.
Height, we definitely disagree in height.
Disagree in height.
But y'all motherfuckers love some bench press.
We yeah. Look, if you look hard enough at anyone, at the total package of who someone is, you're going to find something that you fundamentally disagree on in some ways. But that doesn't mean that they're horrible people and that you can't coexist in the same spectrum. But in this day and age, we have emotionally imbalanced babies that just can't. If you disagree with them on something, then you're well, evil. You're the problem. You're
well, they
this,
immediately
you're
turn it to violence. And yeah. That's just emotional intelligence thing. And I think that's why you find people in life where you can have disagreements. I actually think disagreements are hyper productive because if you have a single lens on something, then you only know it so well. It's like
exactly.
why I believe that Evan and I are fucking some of the best business partners. Cause like we disagree probably on a daily thing, not like on big stuff, but like, I like that. I don't like that. And not like, fuck you, I'm right, dude. It's like, well, why not? Gives me his point, gives me my. And then we like, you work through things, and then the sum of the parts is greater. It's like, okay, wow, we actually made a better product by disagreeing. I think relationships are the same way. Like, if I had my relationship the exact way I wanted it, I don't know if that would be great. But like, when you have both people that disagree and find a better solution to come together, that's what teamwork is. But the internet doesn't do that. They go, I disagree with you. Fuck you. You're a piece of shit.
The one guy that, and I think you should seek this guy out, the one person. So I'm from the South, very conservative, right-minded leaning, very set in certain things and the way things should be done. But I'll listen to anyone's point of view.
Right.
The hard part is finding someone on the other side of the aisle that you can have a conversation with. There's a guy by the name of Brian Dean Wright. Evan went to high school with him.
Yeah, yeah.
They both worked for the government together. Check him out, and we'll talk after the show. But it's hard to find someone, and everything's so polarizing now, you can't have a conversation. Even if you find someone to communicate with on the other side of the aisle, like there's all these random fucking people hopping in like, I'll fuck you up, man. You come to California and I'll beat your ass. Like, what?
That's telephone tough guy shit.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, that's all telephone tough guy.
I will say I've never had somebody come up to me in person yet, knock on wood.
Me too.
That has like just straight up, hey man, I hate everything you say and I'm fixing to make you pay for it kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Well, actually there's been once. It was overseas. It was this dude from me. I'm going on my own little tangent here, but it was Nick from Ranger Up and me. The guy walks up and they're, you know, we're all taking photos together and stuff. And the guy steps in the middle and he looks and he goes, I fucking hate you. I don't want a picture with you. And I was like, hey, fair enough, man. I step aside. I'm like,
yeah,
I ain't going to try to defend myself. And I was like, no worries, man. Hate away, bro. I don't give a fuck.
I think I had Greg Locke on the show the other day, and he said something that I thought was really relevant. He said, we've lost the ability to understand the difference between agreeing and acceptance. Right. So,
yeah, that's fair.
You know, I accept your premise. Right. I accept it. I accept you believe that, you think that. Doesn't mean that I have to agree with you, you know, and we've lost the ability to understand that you know, that's kind of how things are. You know, I accept that people have different viewpoints than me. I accept that people believe that Donald Trump is Hitler. I accept that people think that Hillary Clinton would have made a fantastic president. Sure. It doesn't mean that
those
I agree with that. You know,
I'm serious.
Yeah, I accept that premise. You know, but it doesn't mean that I have to agree with you. You know, that I think that that's the way that it should be.
Well, yeah, and a lot of us are a product of our environment. So, like, you see things under a specific, you know, you've lived those things, like why I'm so comfortable with firearms. I started shooting when I was like 3 years old, so I understand them, which is like. My premise is like, how do I educate people that have never had experience with firearms to realize that they're not these fucking crazy tools of death? They're actually tools that have functioned in my life as life saving and benefit to my family as far as harvesting meat and shit. So yeah, it's having the ability to be uncomfortable, and people hate to be uncomfortable. But if you allow yourself to be in an uncomfortable situation, you'll actually come out of it far more knowledgeable and far more educated. But people refuse to do that. They refuse. The second they feel uncomfortable, fuck everybody. And then they're out and you're like, well, that was super.
Yeah, Matt, I get that all the time on the hunting side. Like, people are like, they'll just say all this crazy shit. And it's like, listen, man, I know that you think that, like, we go out in the woods and we shoot a deer and then we take our fucking pants off and cover our crotch in blood. On. That's not what happens. You
Wait,
know, and
what?
It's like,
I do that every time. I kiss the animal like I'm an avatar, and I say thank you.
You thank
and
it for its sacrifice.
Fucking put my eyeliner on.
You're
with
doing
blood.
That this fall.
I'll do anything. I took a really fucked up photo of a deer once, and I can never.
I want that sound you just made for your ringtone.
I'm happy I never published it. I killed these two baby hogs, which I did eat, and I had this like war face with blood on me, and I was holding up by each arm. It's like when I was, I don't know,
it's a pig.
19.
Fuck a pig. Right.
It's a pig. Fuck the pig. But I was like, now that would be so used against me if that public. I should just release the photo.
We shot this.
Yeah, put it out there.
Though, didn't we?
Yeah.
Hey, Graham Allen, real quick, I got a question for you because you were talking about politics. Has anybody ever asked you to speak for them in like the upcoming like 2018 midterm elections?
There's been some talk, not about the midterm elections, but like CPAC and things that are coming out, you know, they do it. So yes, we're finally starting to get these things. You know, I maybe could be emceeing some political events that are coming up in the future and things. Maybe, you know, we'll see. But yes, some people finally are starting to ask.
That's awesome.
That's never been requested from me. They're like, hey, so Matt, make sure Matt's not in this speech because he's going to fuck it all up. But Evan's welcome. He's the smart one.
I think most people don't really want me to speak in those events because I'm brutal on both sides. So it doesn't matter. I'm not a guy that's going to go, hey, I'm lockstep with the right. I'm not lockstep with the left. I'm going to go with what I feel is the most rational.
Well, you have the ability to come over the top and shut them down. Like,
yeah,
that interview, that woman said, so who do you view as your competition? You went, no one. Tell me another CEO that's walked through the streets of Baghdad at 3 a.m. with a saw and I'll show you my competition. And like, it got real silent and Matt had this little kind of funny look on his face.
Well, I was like, hey, I at the time was a CEO of Article 15. I've carried a saw at 3 a.m. So I was like, what's up, Evan?
What's up, bro?
Let's go fisticuffs.
No, but like that person that asked you that question, they just kind of went, they shut him down, man.
Yeah. Well, and there are plenty of guys out there that have done that in the coffee space, you know, and I was directly referring to larger scale companies. Right. And I think politics is one of those things. You're never going to get a true engaging discourse in Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. You're not going to get real engagement. What you're going to get is one person's opinion, and they're going to stick to it, and they're going to try and do everything they can to make you look like an idiot. That's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
My spare time, when I was like just not doing customer service tickets and a few other things, and I did this not too long ago, probably, I guess, less than a year ago, I would stay up and just fucking troll people as Evan Hafer, just fucking shredding them, like college professors, because they would chime in on some article with Black Rifle Coffee. And they were talking about how we were like, because they always go to this. This is the only thing they can do. You guys are racist. You guys are Nazis. And it's like, no, I'm conservative. I'm neither one of those things. Actually, guys like me and Matt and everybody in my company, we're the guys that would have landed on the beaches of Normandy to fight the fucking Nazis.
Yeah.
Guys like you would have been the people at home banging our fucking wives.
Yeah.
And those are the things that when we get into...
I wouldn't even give them that much alpha. It would be like our wives pegging them. That's beta they are. Like,
and so, but they automatically default to this conversation where they're going to call you something that is a direct reference to a person in history like Hitler that is so far off the fucking mark.
Right.
But there is no logical discourse at that point. You've lost any ability to have a conversation with somebody.
Right.
Because they're automatically going to go, you're a fascist. I'm not a fascist, actually. I'm very much an individual and states rights person, down to quite literally the point of I am a very strict definition of a libertarian.
Right.
A very strict definition of it. But because this was the better of the two options, right? Where you're like, hey, we're in a rock and a hard place. This is a really good position for the Conservative Party because obviously they won, but I wasn't going to vote for fucking Hillary. I'll tell you that right now.
Right.
Like, not a fucking chance in hell.
Right.
Not a snowball
under
chance.
No,
in hell.
I can think, right. under no circumstances.
Zero circumstances.
And that
it's kind of like
yeah.
asking you, you know, it's the difference between do you want to get punched in the face or do you want to take a shot of whiskey? I'm going to take a fucking shot of the whiskey.
Right. Right. Well, and that's the biggest conversation.
Wait, are we taking shots of whiskey? Are
we? Could.
I'd take one.
Sorry.
Let's go. Let's do a long one.
I got excited.
And I think that's the difference is, you know, I'm not a dyed-in-the-wool Trump supporter, but I don't dislike him.
Yeah.
Do I think there are things that he could be doing differently and more effectively? Yeah, absolutely. But that's every person that's ever held that fucking seat.
Because it's a person. And a person's not going to be able to pull off everything that all 350 million whatever that we have in America.
You can't make everybody happy.
Yeah, yeah. You're never going to be able to do that. So, you know, like you said, I think Donald Trump was the best option? No, not necessarily, but I for sure was not going to vote for Hillary. And so, you know, if you have a problem with the options, then you have to ask yourself, well, why were they the only two options?
That's the real question.
Yeah.
The real question is why are these the only options and why are not more people asking that question?
Yeah.
That's the fucking, if you're so dissatisfied with the options, why are you not doing something?
Because that's challenging and it's hard. Yeah. It's easy to point a finger and say you suck, but it's hard. It's just like how we always talk about in the company and stuff. It's like solution-based action rather than just ranting and hot air. It's like you can sit and bitch about someone all day, but unless you come to a terms of how do I effectively change what I'm bitching about, then nothing matters.
No.
It's just fucking hot air,
but
it doesn't mean shit.
I think this is the new norm, and I'll tell you why, because I honest to God think you would have to be a fucking crazy person to run for president. You would have to be a crazy person.
Well, Evan and I are running in
2024.
I stand on my statement.
Me and Alyssa had this kind of conversation because somebody made some kind of comment. They're like, hey, and, you know, in 10 years from now, maybe you could be governor or something like that. And I just kind of looked over at Alyssa and I was like, who knows? Maybe, you know, I'm not going to say what could happen or whatnot. And Alyssa looked straight at me and said, you have lost your mind.
Yeah.
If you think that I'm going to let you subject our family to that kind of thing. It was initial gut reaction, right? You know, she's my wife. She's protective of me, of the kids, but she's right. I mean, you know, to put yourself, and that's just governor, much less the president, you know, to put yourself in that arena, if you will. I mean, nothing is off the table for people to attack, go after, and mean it. Not just like keyboard talking, like they mean it. They will go after your family.
And they can say anything they want. They can say anything they want.
Yeah,
like that. That's the blatant reality that we live in is that people can say anything they want on the fucking internet.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have
to be without consequence.
Yeah, without
zero consequence.
I'm going to shoot you in the face on the internet. You know, if you say that to somebody face to face, you know,
well, it's like the comment about that. Like Ross's kid and yours, and, or you know, like if someone came up to you in a fucking mall, Ross, and was like, "I'm gonna sodomize your child," like that's a overhand right to the face.
I'd
and
kill
you're
him. Yeah,
cops.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Like now you die, bitch. But they have this protection of this median that they think that there's no consequence, and people have like lost their fucking minds on that edge, and that's what really grinds my gears is when people feel that they can say shit without consequence. Like I enjoy the people that say shit they mean for better or worse. Like I value people that go, I just don't like you, Matt, or I completely disagree with you, but they have the fucking cojones to say it to my face. I'm like, awesome, I disagree with you, cool.
Yeah,
like that's man shit, not
but that's different than you know, saying, you know, Matt, I don't agree with what you're saying and I don't like you, But I don't necessarily think that you're a piece of garbage person that doesn't deserve to be here. You know what I'm saying? Like
for sure.
taking it to those points. I agree with you. I respect somebody like that. You know what, Graham? In fact, I've had people say that. I don't agree with 99% of the crap you say. However, I think that you're a real dude. So I respect you as a guy, you know, as a person.
I think
regard.
Like you could bring up the gun restriction and gun laws in that same stance. I don't think that people that are anti-gun aren't coming from a somewhat empathetic position.
Yeah.
They're thinking, how do I stay alive? They're just completely on the wrong course and they don't understand the subject. So I don't think that they're a bad person, but then it's ultimately up to me and my stats to educate them so they hopefully change their stance and become more of a supporter.
I don't think they're actively saying, what can I do to ruin
America?
I mean,
there's some of them out there just fucking.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them. But
I think what scares me right now with politics in America, and I think with the demographic shift and the younger voter as they continue to get a little bit older into the voting age, is that socialism, or what are they calling it now? Democratic socialist. Those are conflicting statements. But that's on the rise to the point where we are going to see the Socialist Party have not a comeback, but it will be a giant surge within the United States within our lifetime. The way that this country is run will be completely different in two more executive election cycles. We are going to see something that is, we're going to look at this country and say, where the fuck is my country gone?
Yeah.
And
hashtag why I have guns and lots of ammo.
And that socialist mindset, and I see it everywhere. We see it in social media. We see people being more accepting to this idea of socialism. They have no context of history. In all reality, we don't either, because we weren't there. We weren't in the Cold War. We don't quite understand it. But at least we've read enough about it, and we have a context to history to know, like, hey, this isn't something we want, everybody.
Right.
And I think that's one of the scariest things about America right now, that as I'm looking forward into the next two decades, when my kids grow up in the United States, socialism is going to be acceptable. That's fucking crazy to me.
Yeah.
It fucking scares the living shit out of me, because that becomes a fascist state. And democracy and individual rights and states' rights, those dissolve within the fucking black pond of socialism.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are
socialism's never worked.
It's never worked.
Never.
It never will.
Yep.
The fucking president of Venezuela just said it didn't work and he made a mistake.
Right.
I mean, what else do you need?
Yeah.
But and what else do you need within history? I guess that's the thing that I don't quite understand. It's like, how do we not just look back the last 200 years of the country's experimentation, or different countries internationally, their experimentation with socialism and democracy, and say, wow, one seems to work much better.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is if you look right now, if you look at, and I'm not saying who is responsible, I'm not giving anyone credit for this. Some of it had to do with Obama, some of it has to do with the current administration. Unemployment's at an all-time low. Unemployment in African-American, Hispanic is an all-time low. Food stamps, all-time low. Stock market, all-time high. There's a fuck ton of stuff going right in this country. And I don't understand, unless it's just being driven by sheer blind hate, I don't understand how someone could say, you know what, this is all wrong. This is not what we want. We want socialism.
Well, I truly think this is racism. I really do. I think this is racism towards... and bigotry towards any white male that is in any form of authority. Ooh. I think this is a blind rejection of any Caucasian male.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Of truth.
So regardless of the person, and regardless of the person, they will not be satisfied until they have a female in office, regardless of their background, their resume, their qualifications, or intelligence. That is the only thing that will satisfy a huge percentage of the voting population. So it's not based on qualifications. It's literally, as you know, people like to say, it's literally, I want my team to win so badly
that they're willing to.
I would rather somebody fail, and that affects all of us.
All of us,
and win to be able to say I'm right. And this is social media. This is like, I can fucking have a Twitter block and a comment to say, fuck you, I was right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look, Evan, to your point, Bill Maher has been openly championing on his show for the economy to tank. He claims if the economy can tank, that is the surefire way to get Trump out of office in 2020.
Yeah, but that's a statement, and I'm not even a political dude, but it's just like, so you want the president to fail that bad that all of America takes a huge fucking right hand to the face, and you're going to see poverty. You're going to see fucking famished families and all this fucking
food
consequence.
Stamps, welfare,
like,
drug addiction.
That's what you want, so you can say, we finally got Trump out of office. Like, what a fucking piece of shit,
but
dude.
Here's the scary thing, or funny thing. Bill Maher and every fucking person that he knows personally, there is nothing that those people can do combined to tank the economy. Like, it's just not it's like saying I'm going to be 7 feet tall tomorrow. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
And like I think that it's insanity. And the meaning of words. So like the term racist, that gets thrown around a lot. That term has switched meaning to bigotry. Racism means you feel that one race is superior to another.
Right.
That's what that means. But now people are using these terms incorrectly, and they have no meaning. They've been used so much. The fire alarm has been pulled so many fucking times. They've cried wolf so many fucking times that eventually something big will happen, or something bad does happen. No one's going to pay attention because the fire alarm's been pulled too many times. You know, like you cry wolf too much, like people just stop listening, you know? It's crazy to me.
Yeah, by the way, Evan, back to your point about the socialism thing. There's a chick on the Democratic side who's supposed to be their rising star. Her name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Right.
Oh yeah.
She wins this district in New York, knocks out this guy who's been, you know, seven terms, and they're like, oh my God, she's our next champion. She's 28 years old. They sent her out to seven other states to campaign for candidates in these seven other states, Michigan, Kansas, and a few other states. The primaries were last night. She was 0-7 on all the candidates she supported for this Democratic Socialist movement. So
like
hopefully it's not
seven,
moving.
Mercy rule 0-7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hammered. Hopefully it's not as prevalent as we think it's going to be in the future. But I agree with you. I think sometime in our lifetime, a big socialist will get voted into a higher form of office that's going to really fuck shit up for our kids.
I don't know why it's so hard just to like laugh and come and be nice to people. It's so simple in my mind.
We should just annex out the Southeastern Conference and just start our own.
and they truly have no idea if a socialist is voted into the executive chair of this country, the economy is fucked.
Fucked. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, fucked.
Yeah.
We have such a fucking huge national debt. If a socialist is fucking voted into that economy, we will see poverty on a level in the United States. And if I can't imagine that it would ever happen. If it ever happened, the economy would hit an absolute all-time low, probably from the fucking
Great
closest
Depression. Thing we've had to a socialist, I would say, is probably Jimmy Carter in the 1980. Like interest rates were
it would blow up
20%. You know, ooh. I mean, taxes were all, it's crazy. But no, the thought of that's insanity.
The thought of what the United States economic condition would be if there was a socialist voted into that seat is you can't even comprehend the amount of devastation that would cause. The fucking stock market, the bottom would fall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like it would fucking fall out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and that's the thing. You've got a bunch of people that are borderline might as well be children running around. You know, children have a lot of ideas. A lot of them are very, 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 very bad. Yeah, you know what would be awesome is if I stick this fork in this outlet. You know, that would be a fantastic idea. And, you know, that's kind of where we're at now is people are so against truth of, you know what, you may hate Trump fundamentally as a man, as a person, but what you cannot argue is what he is actually doing for the economy, for everything. And so someone said to me one time, and it's probably some famous quote and they just took it for their own, but anyway, you know, the only way you can argue truth is with emotion, because that's the only thing that you can do. And so these people know that they can't argue the facts, so they're just becoming emotional and angry and violent, and they're going to do anything and everything they can to just, I don't know. I still don't think they're going to get Trump out next election.
He'll win 40 states.
I think he's going to be in. It's the next election that I'm worried about.
That's the one. I'll tell you, the one.
Five times
this.
In the history of this company, a sitting president has been voted out during reelection. Only five times. Probability dictates he'll absolutely be in re-election.
Yeah, and there's odds up in Vegas right now. That's,
oh God, that's huge, oh, huge.
You can bet on that?
Yeah, you can bet on it. One of our sponsors for Drinkin' Bro Sports, mybookie.com. You can bet on it. So I looked at the odds. Trump is the favorite. It's about 1.5 to 1. And then second is on the Democratic Party, Bernie Sanders is up there. And then
475.
He's second, and then number one is Kamala Harris. She's predicted to be the Democratic candidate for 2020.
Bring
against
it on,
Trump.
Baby.
Yeah. Well, again, like I said, I think that you know, the truth is what it is. Trump is doing a good job. Should he probably lay off Twitter from time to time? Yeah.
Yeah.
But forever. The truth of the matter is he is doing the things that he said he would do, and he's going to get elected again. It's the next one. The next one.
The president's not supposed to be your moral compass. Yeah. You're looking to the president for guidance. You're doing it wrong.
You know, somebody said that the other day, you know, oh, well, you know, he's paid for hookers and all this other kind of stuff. To be honest, I don't care.
I don't care
if you know. Do I agree with having an affair on your wife? No, but do I think
he was efficient in his sexual practices?
Do I think that disqualifies you from being able to run the country?
Those are the same people that put JFK and Bill Clinton on a fucking pedestal. By the way,
exactly.
JFK still do.
And it's like, those are the same guys.
Yeah, but that's the thing, man. It's like, what in the world does
that
have
to do? But judgment of character is subjective, so you can do that.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, and if you...
The guy gets his head blown off, and everything else he did is fucking amazing.
And if you look up Stormy Daniels on Pornhub and watch her giving head, just type in Stormy Daniels blowjob. I think Trump got off easy paying $150K. Like, that's a lot. People would pay a lot more for that kind of head.
Is it a good blowjob?
Oh boy, she's really going after two hand basket weave.
She's been on pre-roll ads of my porn lately. It's like, hi, I'm Stormy Daniels, and I'm live feeding. I'm like, wow.
Well,
ads. It's that conservative audience.
And her husband just filed for divorce last week.
Her
so.
Current tour, though, is called Make America Come Again.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Well, speaking of coming, let's have the drinking bro come on because we are...
Drinking bro.
We will. Drinking bro of the week is submitted by Ryan Rhodes. Man, this one's a sad one, but you know, look, you're able to send in whatever you want to Drinking Bros, and we will always be happy to read them. I'd like to nominate Johnny Quiles for Drinking Bro of the Week. Johnny is a police officer and fellow Drinking Bro from upstate New York, who's had a rough year lately. About a year ago, he lost his wife to cancer, making him a single father to their 5 kids. More recently, he received a diagnosis of cancer himself, and is scheduled to have surgery to have it removed. Shortly after his diagnosis, his brother also passed away, leaving behind a daughter who Johnny, has also now become responsible for. He's genuinely a great guy and has been there for me through hard times and when he didn't need to be, and he just needs a win right now with all the stuff that's been happening to him. I hope that being named Drinking Bro of the Week would at least make his day and give him that win he desperately needs. Fuck. Absolutely, Ryan Rhodes. Cheers, man.
Yeah, cheers. Shit. Johnny. Damn, brother.
That was hard to read, man. I apologize, Johnny
Hard
Quiles.
To listen to,
man.
Yeah. What a man, though. I mean, you know.
No,
I mean,
shit. Man. Well, listen.
Well, cheers, brother.
Yeah, cheers. Yep. Graham Allen, man, it's always a pleasure having you on. The audience loves you. You have an open seat anytime you want to come back.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Where can people find you?
So you can find me on Facebook, Graham Allen, or you could check out my new show, Rant Nation, on CRTV.com.
Awesome.
Or BlackRifleCoffee.com. That's BlackRifleCoffee.com.
BRCC.com.
BLA.
Hey, thanks for coming on again, Baker. We love you, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Dave isn't fired yet. He's still here,
guys. He's still there.
Still here.
For Evan Hay, for Matt Best, Graham Allen, Baker Leave It, I'm Ross Patterson. I'm not even going to say his fucking last name. Fuck you, Dave. Good night, everybody.
Yeah.